there, everyone. I'm Joe, and I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for listening to our Lincoln E-Free podcast. We are grateful for your support to shine the light of Christ in every home and business in the Lincoln Lakes area and beyond. In case you're not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our bio. We hope you enjoy this week's message and encourages you and helps you to become the light that God designed you to be. With that, let's jump in.
Monday, Pam and I were on a walk, and we're on the west side of Crook Neck by the landing. And who should drive up but Dale and Molly? I didn't say Shirley. It was another girl. A retriever girl, okay? And Dale wasn't there to give his dog practice. He really wanted to wash the dog, and Molly needed a washing, so he's throwing the ball out in the water, and the dog tears after it like kids who are released tear after the Tootsie Rolls. And he fetches it, and he gets it. Cold water, swims back. But Dale admitted that Molly was not trained as well as... So Molly was a little reluctant to come back with the ball. And maybe it was just because Molly was tired and didn't want to chase the ball immediately again, right? When I saw Molly reluctant to come back with the ball, I thought of myself and Jesus throwing his word out there. And I may be quick to get it. I love personal devotions and whatnot, studying God's word. But I don't always bring it back as quickly as I ought to. Don't always follow through with it the way I ought to. He sends it over there, and he wants me to obey. He wants me to do something with it. Go get it and bring it back. Okay? So Jesus told stories. We would have all loved listening to him. I'd be the first one to sit down and let him take over. He told stories. He typically real ordinary kind of stories that happened to him or that people could observe. But there were unique stories called parables. And as everything in life, a parable is made up of two Greek words. Para, off to the side. Bole, to throw. A parable literally is something tossed to the side. Now, what kind of a teacher is that? I'm more inclined to just tell them the way it is. Jesus threw it off to the side, told the story. On the surface, there was something for everybody, but there was something deeper. But to get to that deeper thing, he needed the participation of others. He wanted us to walk over, pick up the ball, bring it back to him and say, why did you do that? Why did you tell that? What does that really mean? And one day, I'm sure there were numerous times, Jesus saw farmers throwing out the seed. Oh, they would do the best they could to till up a little bit of ground. But for those of you that have been to Israel, know that the ground isn't as fertile and easy to till up as most ground should be. Then he would throw it and some would fall on the sides. In other places where he didn't Well, it's hard to say he didn't intend it to go. He just knew some would fall there and be eaten by birds or waste away. That was okay, because the stuff that fell into good soil would bear fruit. So we're going to read Luke's parable. Luke tells us more parables of Jesus than any other of the gospel writers. And once again, it's because of his audience that he's writing to. Mark is writing to Romans. Romans didn't care about philosophy, typically. They just cared about what's getting done. What did he do? So Mark, it feels like it's just rapid fire action that Jesus is doing one thing after another. You read Luke and it just slows way down as he tells stories, retell stories that Jesus told. Would you stand with me as we read? We read, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower, farmer, a planter, went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rocks. And as it grew up, it withered because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things. As he said these things, he called out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant," notice the two different groups. The whole story went to a great crowd. Now it's just his disciples. "They asked him what this parable meant. He said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others there are parables, so that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes it away, the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe." There's a progression here. "They may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." There's a lot more there than what's on the surface, isn't there? You may be seated. The story is pretty simple, very everyday. If you notice, Jesus wasn't inclined to big, fantastic stories. We like big stories. And like sequels to movie, they've got to be bigger. Ever been in a conversation with someone's trying to one-up everyone else, you know? And it's a simple story. The kind of story you hear, you think to yourself, I could have thought of that. Farmer, sowing. That's how they sowed their seed. Now, you can be sure, like every farmer, was careful. Nothing like our planting today. Or even like I saw in Romania, where they were by hand putting in one kernel of corn and a kernel of nitrogen in each. I mean, women were out there doing this. Imagine that. In the Middle East, they had seed and they would do the best they could to get it out there. Spreading it like that, it probably wasn't corn, maize, or something like that. It was something small like grass, mustard seed, other kinds of grain, wheat or rye, which were common. But as he threw it out, some landed on the path. He's not going to go sweep it up. It just gets trampled underground. Some the birds sweep. Oh, the birds are looking for you to. Just like when you go fishing, the loon shows up. You know, the birds, they come. And farmers, springtime. Other fell among rocks. Rock doesn't hold moisture very well. Some of it would spring up, ash in a flash, it would be over. Others fell among thorns out on the edges. That's why we weed and cultivate, right? Weeds will choke out the moisture, the nutrient, the sunlight. And then the fourth referred to that which was sown in the good soil. And it multiplies even up to 100-fold. It's a simple story. He tossed it to the side. Most people that day, it was a great crowd. The vast majority of people that day heard the story and said, oh, that's interesting, okay. And then they were on with something else. His disciples knew Jesus well enough that they knew there must be something more involved here. So they went over and picked it up, so to speak, brought it back to him and said, why'd you tell that story? I mean, it's a cool story, but everybody knows that already. Well, they don't know what I meant by that story. So then he moved on to the interpretation. But with it, you recall, there was an invitation given to everybody. The invitation was like Dale saying fetch to his dog, you know? I mean, it wasn't, this is exclusive. The seed is out there. Whoever will, he who has ears to hear, does that kind of include everybody? Pretty much. Let him hear. Use your ears. But that's all he said. The disciples went over, picked it up, and brought it to him. And before he went on to the interpretation, he gave them a blessing. To you has been given to know the secrets, not to them. Why the exclusion? He's looking for something from you and me. Isn't that obvious? He's looking for some kind of response from us. Many of you sat in church for years and years and years and never really responded with anything other than, yeah, this is my place and Yeah, that's God's word. And then one day, you sought something deeper in your faith experience. Those are the people that are rewarded. Now, I often find myself praying, Lord, open her ears, open her. The Lord will open ears, but you have to respond. There's an old English word that the King James uses a lot, hearken. Hearken. It means not just to hear it, it means to hear and respond. And that's what he's looking for. All right, the interpretation, verses 11 and following. The seed is the word of God. This word and all words that God deems consistent with this word. Peter says of Paul's writings, he calls them scripture. He says there are some things in there that are hard to understand that Paul says. That's Peter. So don't be surprised if there are some things that you have a hard time understanding. The seed is the word of God, and it's intended to be broadcast. We tend to live with a mentality of scarcity. Conserve the seed. It's expensive, especially this engineered seed. Conserve it. Be careful with it. God, Jesus treats it as if there's nothing scarce about this at all. It's endless. Just throw it out there for Pete's sake. Don't let it sit in a tub in your garage. Get it out there. Don't worry about running out of seed. So, the soil, clearly from the text, Jesus' description, is the heart of man. Okay, we're going to delve a little more deeply than I usually do into some theology. Jeremiah 17 says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All right, I'm going to take a quick aside to all of you Hallmark movie fans. Follow your heart is the advice of the devil. Just doesn't mean you have to stop watching Hallmark. Just remember that. Just remember that each time you hear that phrase, which is at least once a show, right? How does a heart become desperately wicked? Does God create a desperately wicked heart? Probably the most profound theological statement we find in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 and following. Just listen carefully. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not counted where there was no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Theologians are split over that phrase, because all men sinned. Some believe Everyone sinned in Adam as a representative of the human race. Others believe that something happened to be sure that communicated evil into the heart. Because after all, we are desperately short on examples of people who have not sinned. So if it's universal that everyone sins, there must have been some kind of it, at least a handicap from Adam that we inherit. But it says, because all sinned. Does that mean we sinned in Adam? Nowhere else in the scripture are we held responsible for someone else's sin, although children often bear the consequences. They are not responsible for the parent's sin. Is it possible that the little babies that Anna Lou and Caitlin Doss and Taylor are going to have, is it possible that they are handicapped in such a way that they will indeed sin at some point? But not until that point when they do actually consciously sin, at some age of accountability that God only knows, that's when they particularly become accountable for their sin. Otherwise, we should be baptizing for the dead, for the babies. We should be baptizing them just in case they are guilty before God. And there are theologies that hold that if a baby is not baptized, maybe they don't go to hell, but they go to infant perdu, a kind of a no man's land. Almost all Protestant theologians believe that children that die, how many of you have had a very young baby or child that died? Yeah, they're with Jesus. They're covered by the blood of Jesus. They may in some sense be guilty of racial sin through Adam, but they are not guilty of personal sin. And the blood of Jesus covers that racial kind of sin, the human race. God extends grace to everyone. John 1:9. Jesus is the true light that gives light to everyone coming into the world. Who does he give it to? Everyone. Not just a small group of elect. Everyone gets the light. And I believe that light counters the effects of Adam's sin. The will that could only choose and would only choose evil is now enabled to choose good. The mind that was darkened and blinded through Adam is enlightened enough that they can know right and wrong. And the will that was deadened enables Adam, enables us to choose good. I mean, is it not a no-brainer that every one of us can choose to do the right thing? So here's where the analogy of the sower and the soil breaks down. You choose. I choose the type of soil my heart consists of. Every one of you can think of a time perhaps when you or someone you know has a hard heart. It's like seed. The Word of God hits it, and it's like seed on a pavement. It's not going anywhere. It's the same seed. Even Jesus said there are some people whom it's pointless to even share the gospel with. It's like pearls thrown into the pigsty. Now, difference between Jesus and you and me is we can't be certain who those people are. So give them the word of God. There are other souls who were rocky and unstable. You ever try walking on rocks? Well, the seed comes there, and it may even spring up. Isn't that amazing how you've seen some things grow out of rocky soil, out of just looks like a side of a cliff, and yet something's grown. Well, found enough soil to hold enough moisture to do something. Jesus says something very interesting about this, and we need to take it for what Jesus gave it to us as. He said, these are those who believe for a while. I think if you look around, you know, you might choose to call it, well, they didn't have genuine belief. Well, I would say they didn't have saving belief, but I wouldn't question its genuineness. Sometimes it's an emotional spasm, but it doesn't last. They believe for a while. And without moisture, it doesn't go anywhere. There's other soil that's surrounded by thorns. And the seed of God, the word of God, lands in there, and it takes root and it starts to grow. But it's too crowded. It even bears fruit that doesn't mature. See the progression? They believe for a while. They even bear fruit, but it doesn't mature. Why doesn't it mature? It's too crowded. The cares of life. Brothers and sisters, if this doesn't hit home to you, you got a hardened heart. We are all bombarded with the cares of life. Wanting more out of life. Got my bucket list. You know what? We got eternity. Don't worry about your bucket list. God thinks that's so foolish. And then, of course, there's the soil of the good heart. So there are two separate applications I want you to think about this morning. First, what kind of soil are you? And second, what kind of sower, planter are you? Is your heart hardened? It is if you're here mainly because your wife or kids want you to be here. Okay? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here at all. So I'm going to move on to rocky soil. Emotions are important. God gave us emotions. When I think of rocky soil, I think of instability. as well as a lack of ability to hold moisture. Emotions are important, but it's got to be more. Don't deny your emotions. God gave them to you. They're to be used as wonderful expressions. But they're not the substance. Is your heart crowded? You know, you can only think about one thing at a time. And even though we try to multitask, we generally can only do one thing well at a time. And it's not to say that all of your time ought to be engaged in the things of God in terms of teaching Sunday school and witnessing to a neighbor and all of that. What does Paul say? Whatever your job, do it with all of your heart as serving the Lord. You know, that's serving the Lord. I'm not getting extra credit by doing what I'm doing. If anything, I'm held to a higher account. It's just what God has called me to do. He's called you to do something different. But it's just as important that you do what you do. And not let the stuff of life choke out your service to God. Brothers, I feel it. I live on a lake, and you know what lakes are like this time of year. All the seasonal folks coming up, you know. We love it because seasonal folks, they come up, they tend to be in good moods because they left their cares behind. Down in the cities or Fargo, St. Cloud, wherever, I don't care. They just don't bring them with them, typically. I know, you know some examples of the opposite. It's really easy, wherever you are, to just get consumed with stuff. And I've got three brothers, a lawyer, a CPA, an engineer, and when they're at their work, they need to be focused on their work, doing their job. And when they do their job well, it's like when I communicate well or lead the church well. It's just as good. They get paid a little more. I'm paid very well for a pastor and thrilled. Nevertheless, whatever God has called you to do, do it with all your heart. Don't let the cares of life choke you out. Choke out the productivity that God wants you to have. But not only do each of us have soil, are each of us soil, we're also each of us supposed to be spreaders of the word. Through our life, the word gets spread even just through example. Through words, choice opportunities, you just throw something out there. Don't feel too badly if you don't have a chance to just directly share the gospel and invite them to Jesus. That's not what God intends every time. Why didn't Jesus do that over and over and over and over again? Why did he tell stories and just kind of toss it off to the side? Sometimes that's what you do when you just put a plug in. It's okay. This word is living and active. Be surprised what God can do with just a plug of his word. And then look, what does Peter tell us, right? Always be prepared to give an answer to those who ask of you, hey, why are you different? What hope do you have? Be prepared for that. But you don't have to hit them up straight with it, okay? Toss it something off to the side and look for a response. Hey, why'd you say that? And then jump at it. I'm thinking I'm going to challenge us to share some of the stories of farming, okay? Or gardening, okay? First thing any good farmer has to do, any good gardener, how many of you got gardens out there you're tending to? God loves gardening. Adam was a gardener, right? Gardener, probably more fitting than a farmer. Got to plow up, you got to break up. Jeremiah says, break up your fallow ground. You got ground around you. Break it up. What does that mean? It means just opening your mouth. Becky Pippert said, salt. Say something. Ask a question. Listen. See if you can turn it deeper. Salt. Just, my wife's good at this. I'm working at it. This is easy. Out there it's more challenging. I'm usually in too much of a hurry like a lot of you. Slow down. Talking to myself. Plowing, planting, just drop a word. Here, there, trail throughout you, just every so often, throughout your day. A word here, a word there, you're planting. Cultivate relationships that you may have just plowed up and broken into. Work at cultivating that. Getting to know the person a little bit more and understanding what they're dealing with. Cultivate. And then comes the reaping. We got 2 minutes. Anybody got a plowing testimony? You plowed up some new ground and made a relationship that you didn't have before, or planting. You were able to drop a word here or there, or you're working on this relationship and seeing where God might bring it. Or maybe you were blessed to be able to reap. Paul? Yeah, I'm ready for anything. Not a knuckleball, curveball. I think there's some truth to that, Paul. We all have some rocks. We all have some places where we're hard and other places where we're good. No, I think that's a good point. Yeah, I've done my share of picking rocks too. Anybody I'm going to call on my wife because can we have this one, Randy? She had an opportunity that, you know, I'm just kind of jealous of but she's different than I am.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's sort of interesting. I went to Walmart. It was the end of my day of going on my errands in Baxter Brainerd. And I was in line at the self-check at the Walmart. And I'm always trying to get there through fast. Who's the fastest cashier? And to get through. And I was, the gal in front of me, she didn't see the open spot. I said, oh, it's over there. Go over there. And then she, when she got over there, she goes, oh, there's an open spot over here. I said, okay, I'll go over there. And then I was putting my stuff in, and, you know, I'm like you. You know, sometimes I'm very focused, and other times I don't know why, I just said to her, I said, how are you doing today?
This is most of the time.
Anyway, and she said, oh, I'm really having a hard day. I'm just really struggling. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, well, what's happening? What's going on? And she said, oh, she said, I've got autoimmune disease as well as long COVID. And with all the allergies now, she's really struggling. And I said, oh, I said, you know, my daughter had long COVID. And I said, she got to the point where she was writing letters to her kids thinking she was going to die. And she said, that's how I feel. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And then she was done with her stuff, and I was in the middle of, you know, checking out. And I turned to her, and she goes, she came over to me, and she goes, I am so angry at God. And I said, oh, he can handle that. And then I said, do you know Jesus? And she goes, well, I've been to Heritage Church. I said, oh, that's a really good church. And then she said, I was at the dentist this morning, or some appointment, and there was somebody from Lakewood Free Church there talking to her. And I said, oh, that's a wonderful church. I know some people there. And I said, that would be a great place for you to go. I said, Jesus loves you so much. Just remember, Jesus loves you. And she just was so, she said, oh, I just feel like bawling, but I'm at Walmart. I said, okay. But I said to her, I said, I am so sorry. I said, can I pray for you? And so I reached over. This is totally the Lord. This isn't always what I do. But I grabbed her right here in the self-check area. And I said, okay, let's pray. And so I prayed in Jesus' name that he would bring the doctors that she needs, the medical help, that they would solve her problems. And and that she would know that God loves her. And so anyway, she said, oh, what is your name? I said, I'm Pam Rigstad. I said, I go to Lincoln Free Church. And she goes, oh, she says, this is her perspective. I didn't feel this way. But she said, oh, you're my angel today. I said,
she's right.
I just, you know, it's like you know, you just got to be available. And at that moment, at that time, she just opened up to me, because most of us will share, you know, to somebody and say hi, and they'll, how are you doing? They'll say, good. And no, this woman, and she is a teacher in Pequot Lakes. She has two kids and married. She's probably late 40s, and you look at her, and she looks like all of you, great on the outside. And I was thinking as I left, and she left, and then I had our prayer group on Wednesday pray for her, and I've been praying for her. I don't know if I'll ever see her again, but I said, you know, to my daughters, I said, you are a stay-at-home mom, and you are discipling your children, but I said, when you go out to Walmart, anywhere you go, I said, you are a lighthouse, and there are people out there that look just like you and that are great on the outside, but they are hurting on the inside. So be alert.
Thanks, Sonny. That should be the normal Christian life for me as well as for you. We all ought to live like a missionary. You talk to a missionary and you discover they're trying to make relationships with the cashier and the repairman and everyone they meet. They're just hungry for those relationships and making them. God help us to slow down. God help us to be bold. I mean, my wife doesn't have a theological degree like I do, but she does this part of the Christian life better than I do. So let's all work at it. Hearts can change. Some of the hardened hearts you see out there, you think, no point in bothering with them. Those hearts can change. your heart, my heart can change. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you're interested in learning more about Lincoln E. Free Church here in the Lincoln Lakes area, you can go check out our website, lincolnefree.org, and you can give us a follow on Facebook. Have a great week.